1 Samuel chapter 7. And our text for today consists of two verses. Verses 3 and 4. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel, now we're not talking about one or two people, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, had been challenged by Samuel. Now we read, then the children of Israel, the nation, did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. There's revival. Both the religious and national life of Israel were at a very low ebb. For years, an aged and feeble priest had been at the head of affairs. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were described in 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, as sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And through their lurid and immoral behavior, they disgraced the priestly office, so that it is recorded, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:17. Such was the shocking state of religion in the land of Israel. At this time, Israel suffered a terrible defeat at the hand of the Philistines, 1 Samuel 4, verse 2. You might just turn to the chapter 4. For we read in verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And we read then in verse 2, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they had joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. So Israel suffered a terrible defeat at the hand of the Philistines. It was no one's fault, only their own, because they had ignored Samuel and his word, taken things into their own hands, gone out against the Philistines, and we are told that they lost about 4,000 men. They had not sought the face of God. They had not sought Samuel for his counsel and instruction. They had not sought a word from the Lord. And they had suffered the consequences. But the problem was, Israel did not learn from her mistake. Israel went out again against the Philistines, only this time they believed that if they brought the Ark of the Covenant with them, that surely they would have the victory over the Philistines. They brought the Ark of the Covenant in a superstitious way. They brought the symbol of the Lord's presence, but they didn't have the Lord's presence. The symbol, but not the reality. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant, and they went out against the Philistines and once again suffered a horrendous defeat. 1 Samuel 4 and verse 10. They'd lost 4,000 men before. You'd have thought that would have been enough to turn their hearts to the Lord and seek His help, but no. They once again went forth leaning upon their own understanding, trusting the arm of flesh in a superstitious way, looking upon the Ark of the Covenant as a kind of a lucky charm. It was nothing more than that to them. In verse 10, we read, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. 30,000. That was bad enough. But then the next verse tells us of a greater tragedy. The Ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. The Ark of God was taken. The Ark had fallen into the hands of the enemy. The symbol of God's presence was now in the hands of the enemy. After the Ark was returned, Philistines couldn't bear to hold on to it because they brought it into the temple of their god and set it before their god Dagon, and in the morning Dagon had fallen. They did the same again the next morning. Dagon had fallen again. Below the Ark was by their oppressors, Israel was under the heel of the Philistines for 20 years. The Ark was consigned to a private dwelling, and it was no longer a rallying point for their faith. And that brings us now to our text this morning, verses 3 and 4. Here we have Israel. And we are told in verse 2, and it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. All the house of Israel. Here we have, first of all, the weariness of the people. They were weary. Weary of the 20 years being under the heel of the Philistines. They were weary of the fact that the Lord was not with them. They were not conscious of His presence, because the symbol of His presence had been taken from them. And for 20 years they had labored alone. And now they had grown weary. We are given a very important detail regarding Israel before the Israelites went to war with the Philistines. Go back there again to chapter 4 and look at the last verse of chapter 3. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. In other words, Samuel received word from God. Now look at the next verse, the first verse of the next chapter. And the word of Samuel came to Israel. In other words, the word that God gave Samuel, Samuel gave the word to Israel. And we find now from this fourth chapter through the chapter 7, we find our text for this morning. There is nothing recorded of the Lord doing anything in Israel as a result of the ministry of Samuel. In other words, through chapter 4, 5, and 6 of Israel's history, 20 years, Samuel had ministered to Israel and nothing happened. The men and women of Israel had turned their heart, had gone and worshipped idols, and had not given ear to the word of the Lord that came to them by Samuel. It was only at the end of 20 years of ministry that the people turned to Samuel and received a word from him. Those 20 years were 20 dark years. They would have been 20 years of disappointment for Samuel, ministering all that time and basically no results from his ministry. Oh, the 20 years period was up. It's tough going when you minister and minister week after week, month after month, and year after year, and basically do not see any visible results to your ministry. Then we are reminded of the words of Paul, because this was so most certainly true of Samuel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, Samuel was. Unmovable, Samuel was. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, Samuel was. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And while Samuel ministered for 20 years and it appeared nobody was paying any attention and there were no signs and wonders wrought in the nation, yet at the end of 20 years, the people turned to God and revival came to Israel. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And as we read in Psalm 126, in the verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There may be a long period of sowing but there must be a harvest. As far as Samuel was concerned, his sowing lasted 20 years. Praise God, at the end of the 20 years, how well Samuel's ministry was rewarded when God brought the people to their knees and sent revival. Notice, first of all, their loss. Their loss. Each time that Israel went out against the Philistines, and the second time they went out, brought the Ark of the Covenant with them, they did so completely ignoring Samuel and his word. We've already noted that, 1 Samuel 4 and verse 1. The word of Samuel came to the people, but the people ignored him. And they went out against the Philistines with the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark was taken. The Ark, the symbol of God's presence. And for 20 years, Israel did not have the symbol of God's presence. And for those 20 years, as we've already indicated, there were no signs and wonders wrought by God in the land. God had withdrawn himself. And we find now that Israel realize the greatness of their loss. Because we are told in that verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. You see, they'd been serving other gods. And their religion of idol worship hadn't brought them any satisfaction, hadn't brought them any happiness, and they were at a loss. And they'd come to realize that. And we read then in verse 3 that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They lamented after the Lord. They were now feeling the loss of the Lord's presence. They had now come to realize they could not go forward without the Lord's presence in their midst. And with his presence would come his power. And it's interesting when it speaks about 20 years. It says, for the time was long. And I'm sure for Israel, when Israel looked back on those 20 years, it seemed more like 40 or 50 years. Because they hadn't had the Lord with them. And they had suffered all those defeats. Now they feel the loss. At long last, they now feel the loss. And you know, we cannot go forward without the Lord's presence and power with us. We read in Exodus 33, the prayer of Moses. In Exodus 33, in verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, Moses said, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses realized the importance of having the Lord's presence with him. And we live in a land where men believe they can live without God. And they don't sense the loss of the Lord's presence. It is only when the Spirit of God moves and brings that sense of loss into the minds of the people that they will then, as the Israel did in the days of Samuel, turn to the Lord and lament after the Lord. They felt the loss. The time was long. And when we labor for the Lord and nothing happens, the time is long. We see not only their loss, but their longing. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They were longing after the Lord. Hadn't done that in 20 years. It had been that length of time since they had gone out against the Philistines and suffered defeat and lost the ark. And after the 20 years, the people began to long after God. When have we ever seen anything like that? When have we ever seen anything of that nature in our land? A longing after God. Man rather longs after his sin and his godlessness. How we need to see a longing after God. They thought, you see, that they didn't need God's or Samuel's ministry, but they were wrong. They thought they could get by without the Lord, but they were wrong. They thought they could do without the Lord. They thought their false gods and their idols would serve the same purpose, but they were wrong. They came to realize it. They began to long after God. My, how we need to see the same in this land. Men have their idols. Men have their false religions. But there's no longing after God. Psalm 63. This is what we need to see. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. let us ask ourselves, have we ever been in that place where there's been a longing after God? As described here by the psalmist, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. Have we ever thirsted after God? My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This is a dry and thirsty land, spiritually speaking. But what about our own souls? What about the state of our own hearts? Have we ever had a longing to see the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord? Longing to see the Lord work here and pour out a blessing upon us that there shall not be room enough to see Malachi 3 and 10. We've talked about such things, but how deep and how earnest has been our longing, indeed our desire for such things. Has there ever been a longing God, that the Lord would take us to a new spiritual height with Himself? We've never grown tired of the mediocre. We ever said, Lord, there must be something more than this. We ever longed after God. We ever longed that the Lord would visit us here on the Toronto Road? I mean a longing for God to do something. That the Lord would move and make this church a fruitful vine whose branches run over the wall. We need revival. In our country, in our town, in our church, in our hearts. Habakkuk 3, verse 2. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known and remember mercy. You have their law. Their longing. And then you have their longing. Because it doesn't just say that they longed after God. It says, and all the house of Israel longed after the Lord. And when they longed after God, when they sought the face of God, they did so lamenting. The word lamented means here to be a mourner. And so as they longed after God, as they sought after God, they were mourning the 20 years when they turned their back upon Him. They were mourning the 20 years that they turned a deaf ear to the word that had been preached to them by Samuel. They mourned. They lamented after God. They mourned their folly. See the face of their idols. They mourned their foolishness. They mourned their failures. That drove the Lord from them. Their worshipping of false gods, their participation in a false religion, their idols had all succeeded in driving the Lord away. And after 20 years had come to realize that, and they were mourning in their seeking after God. and how they wished for the good old days again, when they had the favor of God and the presence of God and saw manifestations of the power of God. Read about revival and how we long for those days to be our days. We lament surely our failures and faults, and we lament after God. As William Cowper has penned it in that wonderful hymn of his, "What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memories still, and they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Return. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Exactly they had driven the Lord out. And after 20 years, and the 20 years that were long 20 years, they began again to seek after God. They lamented after him. They'd grown weary of those 20 years being without the Lord's presence. That leads us now to consider the word for the people. The word for the people. For 20 years, Samuel had ministered, and the people weren't interested in his word. Well, now, for we read in verse 3, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, listening. Saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistine." And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. They were listening now. You see what Samuel called for? First of all, he called for sincerity. If ye return unto the Lord with all your hearts, he, as it were, laid it on the line. He was saying to them, if you want to know again the Lord's presence and power in your midst, well, then you must return to the Lord, and you must return with all of your heart. This cannot be any kind of sham return. There cannot be any play acting. You must return with all of your heart, because the Lord demands it. Deuteronomy 11. In verse 13, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." That's what the Lord demands. They were to return to the Lord with all their heart. They were to serve the Lord with all their heart. Joshua, and there in chapter 22, there we read in verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law. So here we have the Lord's commandments and his law, what he has laid down for the people. Samuel, that's what he did. He laid down the law. He gave them the Lord's command. If ye return unto the Lord with all your heart, then the Lord will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistine. But this is God's law. Samuel laid down the law. And we read in Joshua then 22 and verse 5, but take diligent heed, do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and serve him, what with? With all your heart. With all your soul. So Samuel had called upon the people to give the Lord their everything. They were to love him with all their heart. They were to serve him with all their heart. They were to return to him with all their heart. No holding on to any idols. They were to remove all the idols. And they were to return to the Lord with all their heart. In other words, Samuel demanded sincerity. The Lord demanded sincerity. They could only find forgiveness and acceptance if they returned to the Lord with all their heart. And if they were going to pray for forgiveness, it must come from the heart. It must come from the heart. They could not, they dare not, they could not afford to pay the Lord mere lip service. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. But there's something else we should notice there in the words of Samuel that begin in that verse 3. But there's a little word there that's very important. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye return unto the Lord with all your heart, then the Lord will bring deliverance. If. In other words, did not return with all their heart, they wouldn't find deliverance. That not reminds us of the words of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 12. When the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and if I send locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But it all depends on whether or not my people seek my face. That old adage, if, is a small word, but it has a great meaning. If. We can apply that to our own hearts. If we as God's people shall humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord's face and turn from our wicked ways, then the Lord will hear from heaven, will forgive our sins, and praise God, will heal our land or send us revival. But it all depends on if. You have the sincerity, you have the separation. If, Samuel said, you return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then you need to put away your strange gods and Ashtaroth. That's what you need to do. You cannot return unto the Lord, still hold on to your idols. If they earnestly desired the favor of the God of heaven, then their idols had to go. Because, as Israel was well aware, they had received the law of God at the hand of Moses. And what did the law of God say? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am a jealous God. That's what God expects. That's what God commands. They could not serve two masters. It was the God of heaven or the gods of their own making. As the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And for 20 years Israel had done just that. They had a kind of a mongrel religion. Separation was the only remedy. And separation ought to be the mark of the life of a child of God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what Israel had been doing for 20 years. All idols had to be taken away, and God was to be reinstated upon the throne of their hearts. That's where the Lord is to rule in our lives too. On the heart. Dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be. Whatever that idol be, help me to take it from thy throne. Worship only thee. Many things can be and become an idol. We spend more time thinking about something else, more than thinking about the Lord. That thing becomes an idol. I remember not long after I was ordained, I was placed as interim moderator of a particular one of our congregations. There was trouble in that congregation, and I must confess I grew weary because I was down to that congregation more or less every day, going and visiting homes where people had fallen out with one another. It was every day, it seemed. And I thought to myself, these people are thinking more about their enemies, the people they've fallen out with, and my, the whole thing became an idol to them because they were spending more time fighting among themselves than they spent worshiping God and serving the Lord. The Lord wasn't first in their lives. Their so-called enemies were first. That's an idol. And God is a jealous God. All idols must be removed. And then you have Samuel speaking about their service. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him. Something interesting here, if you look there at the verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth. The name means a wife. And so you see what was happening. Israel had been married to their idols. Married to Ashtaroth, this false god. You turn to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chapter 3. We read there these words. The prophet is addressing a backslidden nation. And we read in verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Jeremiah has called the people back to the Lord. And he says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed thy voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I will make you one of the seven of family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The Lord reminded Israel, I'm married unto you. You're not married to some idol. They had been unfaithful to the Lord by serving these idols, by serving the likes of Ashtaroth. God says, I am married to you. We press on quickly, and with this we'll close. You have the willing. Revival. The willingness of the people. For we read in the next verse, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. Over those 20 years, the Lord had brought Israel down until they missed the Lord's presence. They longed after the Lord again. They lamented after the Lord. They mourned over their sin. They were willing to turn to the Lord. Psalm 110 verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Notice their contrition. Samuel gathered the people to Mizpah and said, I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together, verse 6, to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. What did that mean? they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. The pouring out of the water before the Lord symbolized their pouring out their hearts in repentance. It was a view of their pouring out their hearts to the Lord in repentance. So that all could see the water being poured out, and they were saying, that's how we are pouring out our hearts to God, in repentance. Of course, the Lord accepted their contrition, for we read Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Revival came to the whole nation, put away their gods, served the Lord only. The priest of the years. And in Isaiah 57 and verse 15, we read, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I dwell with him who is of a humble and a contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. When we come before the Lord in our contrition and humble ourselves before God, God will revive us. That's what happened to Israel. They came in contrition before God, and God revived them. They have then their confession. They confessed their sin. They came before God. And we are told, verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. Samuel prayed for Israel, and Israel prayed themselves. For verse 6, at the end of the verse, it says, we have sinned against the Lord. They knew their crime had been committed against the Lord. They had sinned against the Lord. They had grieved the Lord. It was the Lord they had sinned against. It was the Lord they had grieved. It was the Lord they had offended. And they come, pray, we have sinned against the Lord. That's where revival begins. And Israel came in contrition, confessed their sin. That's the way it was. That's the way it is in all revival. When you read about the Easter revival, men would be riding their bicycles to work, and suddenly were stricken with conviction. And it was written, it is recorded, it was a common sight to see men at the side of the road on their knees crying out to God for mercy. Broken, contrite, confessing their sin. My, how we need it today. May the Lord send us revival. May God send us revival. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Israel went from repentance to revival. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we bless thee that thou art the God of revival. Lord, lead us out after thee to pray to that end. Wilt thou not revive us again? Lord, answer prayer. Stir us up. And, O God, may there be a longing after God. Be with us now as we part the one from the other. May thy good hand be upon us, Lord, and return us in thy will to thy house this evening. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.